In the meantime, you know, bad can always be spun into good, and the good is we have more of the doc. So on the line with us is Gord Peiser. Hey, Gord.
Hi, Ange. How are you doing?
Oh, man, this is a mess today, buddy.
You're scrambling.
This is oh, my God, scrambling ain't the word for it. But here we are. Here we are. What are you going to do?
Well, that's good.
Yes, yes. So what's happening up in Kenora, buddy?
Ange, the lilacs are in bloom. So what does that tell you?
Yeah, you got her. I knew you were going to say that.
we had that warm spell that you guys have had the last few days, and then it got cool for the last two, but it's going to be up into the 30s early in the week, and I'm betting tomorrow will be the absolute peak of our lilac bloom, and the crappies, Ange, are going crazy.
I love it. How many crappies have you been out catching here the last couple of days?
We were out on Wednesday, and it was probably one of the top 3 to 5 best crappie days I've ever had in my life. And you know, you and I, we've been doing this a long, long time. So you get to the stage where your gut feel, and here's another really important thing for folks that are listening, go with your gut. Go with what you, sometimes we don't know why we make the decisions that we make, but we've been doing them enough that you know this probably is the right thing to do, and then do it. So I looked out the other day, and I could see, man, the lilacs are going to burst within minutes or hours. And so we went out on Wednesday, and we had a good day for about 3-4 hours, Liam and I. And we came around the point, a point of a little island, and there was a patch of pencil reeds. And I'm talking a small patch. It was about the size of maybe your bedroom. And the wind was blowing in perfectly. And I turned to Liam, and he said, "What do you think, Grandpa?" And I said, "There's 800 crappies here." And he laughed.
Hold that thought. I got to take a quick break. So sit tight. On the line with us is the doc doing a little fish talk. He is the outdoor columnist, winning columnist for Outdoor Canada magazine. We'll be right back after this. Don't you dare go away. Welcome back to the program, Outdoor Journal on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm Angelo Biola. And we have a poor Derek Bradale running around at Fan headquarters today. We are in the midst of a major crash and burn, but we landed safely. So here we are, talking to you via phone, on the line with me. Also via phone, of course, is our good friend, the Doc Gord Peiser from Lake of the Woods, from Kenora area. And we're talking about crappy. He said he predicted to his grandson that that particular patch would hold 800 fish. And Gord, what happened?
800 fish, Ange. We got to the stage, I kid you not, we got to the stage where we both had our rods, and I went 1, 2, 3, and we would cast on 3. Our floats would both hit the water at the same time, and we wanted to see who would get the first fish on the cast. And the second each bobber would hit the water, they'd go down. And it was like that for 1.5 hours.
Wow. Wow. Now, were these slabs, Gord, or smaller fish?
Unbelievable, Ange. They were 12 to 14-inch fish. And I'll be honest, we released 99% of them. And it was almost as though, I shouldn't say this, it was almost as though they were so vulnerable. Liam said to me, "Grandpa, let's educate a bunch of them." So they were all just lightly lip hooked. We released 19. I think we kept 8 fish for dinner, and we figure we caught somewhere between 50 to 75 crappies in probably an hour and a half, 2 hours.
I have my own lilac story to share with you about this week. It's funny you mentioned that. I was looking out the window of my home on Monday, I guess it was, or Tuesday, and I said to I called my wife over. I says, "Come here, look at this." She says, "What?" I said, "Look at that lilac tree. I've never seen it like that before." She says, "You idiot, you're never here this week. Normally when the lilacs come out of their trees, you're out shooting."
Okay. You didn't know you had a lilac tree there.
Yeah, I didn't even know, man. It's beautiful.
That's crazy.
Yeah. Now, Liam caught two bass at once. Tell us about that.
Well, that's another... See, the spring is such a cool time of the year, Ange. And you know, when the folks that are listening to us, I mentioned early, always go with your gut and have a sense of things. And, you know, we get so tied up. We've talked about this in the past with calendars. And, you know, it's the third week of May or the second week of June or whatever it is. Nature doesn't operate that way. If you guys have been running through 30-degree temperatures for a week and you start to see lilacs bloom or dandelions come out, that's a much better signal. And so, you know, we knew that those pre-spawn fish were coming up. So we went out for smallmouth. And in the spring, one of the best baits you can be throwing this time of year, especially as a search bait. So if you're not really sure yet where the fish have set up, and it doesn't matter whether you're fishing for walleyes, smallmouth, whatever you're fishing for, a jerk bait is a really good bait. And the key with jerk baits at this point in the year, Ange, is you rip and then pause. And you can't pause long enough. And it drives them crazy when you do that rip pause. Anyway, he had one come up on him. And it came up and it, bang, he goes, "Oh, I got one, Grandpa, I got one." And as he's fighting it, bang, he goes, "Oh, my God, how big is this?" And there's the second fish, and it had come up. And, you know, we see that all year long, smallmouth following other smallmouth, and they're trying to eat what the first fish regurgitates. And this one had come up and actually tried to take the bait out of the first fish's mouth. So now he had 2 3.5-pound smallmouth on the lure at the same time.
Isn't that great, eh? That is absolutely outstanding. Those are memories that you don't soon forget, that's for sure. Reminds me of a time we were, Pete and I were fishing one winter, this is years ago. We were fishing a phosphate pit in Florida in early January, and we got into this private pit that was just, it was sick how many fish were in there. But we were blessed with the opportunity to fish in a piece of water that every time you threw out your bait, and it did matter, Gord, what you threw at them, right? You could be throwing in, but we were using from top water to stuff like jerk baits. Every time you put your bait on the water, there'd be 2 and 3 fish fighting over it. And the game that Pete and I started playing was, let's see who can get 3 fish on. It was insane. It was insane. Insanity. Total insanity. That happens once in a lifetime. Yeah.
I've probably done it 2 or 3 times. And usually for me, Ange, it's a big topwater bait, a big walking bait like a Zara Spook. But this was the first time I've actually seen 2 fish on a jerk bait.
That's craziness, man. I want to talk to you about that story that was out this week. Actually, 2 stories I want to talk to you about that were out this week. But the first one is about the guide up in the Lake of the Woods in the Kenora area that caught that giant black sturgeon while he was largemouth bass fishing. I think his name was Cole Forsythe.
Cole Forsythe.
You've probably spent more time on that lake than anybody I know, for sure. Have you ever made contact with sturgeon before?
You know, I have to be honest, and actually, we used to have a very, we still do, but the season is closed on the Rainy River, so Rainy Lake flows into Lake of the Woods down on the along the international border, and previous to with the closure, we used to have an open season, and it always, wow. It was just before the walleye season opened. And we used to go down there and intentionally fish for the mange. And I've eaten sturgeon.
Oh, wow.
I when I was with MNR, I had gone to several tribal council meetings. And they are one of the most incredible fish. If folks ever get the chance to legally eat sturgeon, if you're invited maybe to a First Nation meeting or a powwow or something like that, you would swear you're eating beef. It is redder meat than prime cut beef, and it's amazing. But Cole was out smallmouth fishing like we were, and he snagged into it. The sturgeon bit, and he first thought it was either a northern or a muskie. He knew it wasn't certainly a smallmouth, and it turned out to be a giant. But Lake of the Woods is probably one of the best sturgeon fisheries on the planet right now.
Wow. Now, first of all, I didn't realize that there was a black sturgeon. That was the first part that blew my mind. I mean, we all know about white sturgeon for sure. I didn't realize that we had black sturgeon. And I also didn't realize that this fish might be a new Canadian lake sturgeon record that he caught.
It was certainly big, I'll tell you that. Now,
yeah.
The commercial fishermen have taken gigantic fish on Lake of the Woods, especially down at the south end. And I know, Ange, you've fished on the lake here. You know how many crayfish are in it, and especially now with the rusties that have come in, we could safely harvest about 10 to 15 million pounds a year. That's the sustainable harvest. So the population of crayfish is probably in the billions, and that is one of the major, probably the number one food item of sturgeon. The lake sturgeon that we've got in Ontario here. So they're down on the bottom feeding on crayfish. And, you know, there are probably one or two are accidentally caught every year.
Now, when did we close that fishery off, Gord?
I would guess now, you know, within about the last 8 years, 6 to 8 years, and primarily because it was a spawning run up the Rainy River to Manitou Rapids. And on the U.S. side, they have kept it open. Rainy River is half Ontario, half Minnesota. So a fair number of fishermen will actually cross the border and go and then stay on the U.S. side. But it really funny too, Ange. It was as simple as taking a ball of night crawlers. That's the way we used to fish for them. And you'd ball up night crawlers and then essentially fish for walleyes, lay it right on the bottom. And it was a pretty good fishery. I would say the average fish was probably in that, I would say 35 to 60 pound range. But Coles, now I didn't see, I don't think he ever weighed it, of course, but to me it looked like it was about 120, maybe 140 pounds.
Wow. I mean, it looked massive. It's a great story.
It sure did.
Now, to your knowledge, sturgeon have been closed down here in the province for the most part for eons, certainly ever since I can remember. Do you know if we're doing anything in terms of research on the possibility of looking at bringing it back as a sports fish at all?
Absolutely. We, in Kenora District here, when I was the district manager, we were doing pretty significant work. The other place that they're historic in is the Winnipeg River system. And of course, Lake of the Woods here. Lake of the Woods is the headwaters for the Winnipeg River. And if anybody's ever been in Kenora, you've crossed over the big bridge right in town here, and that's the mouth of the Winnipeg River. The one problem, two problems actually, with sturgeon is in Ontario, the places that they were historically really, really abundant are the same systems that we dammed up and created massive hydroelectric projects. So mini Niagara Falls type situation. So on the Winnipeg River, as an example, we got the big dam at White Dog. We got the dams further down on the Winnipeg River into Manitoba. And every one of those dams, unfortunately, is sitting on a prime sturgeon spawning area. They were always those rocky, reefy areas, the shallow riffles, and they were also the prime spots way back at the turn of the century for building hydroelectric stations. The other problem, Ange, was pulp and paper. In the old days, again, back at the turn of the century, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, we didn't have containment and pollution control and that sort of stuff. And the sawdust and the pulp waste just ran straight into the rivers. And on the Winnipeg River in Kenora here, from the old pulp and paper mill, there are sections where the sturgeon spawned, and the depth of sawdust in the river, you measure it in feet, like 8, 10, 15 feet thick over the rocks.
Oh, my God.
So, those are the two big problems with sturgeon in Ontario. Lack of spawning areas and siltation.
They haven't adapted to anything else, Gord? They haven't found other suitable spawning areas?
They have for sure on places like Lake of the Woods because of the Rainy River, but that's part of the reason for the protection now on the Rainy. And, they run. It's a major... It's fascinating. If anyone gets a copy of the Lake of the Woods Atlas and some of the research that has been done on Lake of the Woods, they travel massive amounts, hundreds and hundreds of miles, Ange, on a continuous circular basis, especially in the southern sectors, 5 and 6 of Lake of the Woods. And then at spawning season, they go up the Rainy River, and then they hit all of those major rapids like Manitou Rapids, and that's where they spawn. The population is probably such that from a sustainable harvest point of view, most of that is what's there has been allocated to First Nation traditional use.
Right.
But it would be really cool because they are a fish that's made, believe it or not, for catch and release. They're amazingly resilient, tough. They're always hooked in the mouth, and they've got that huge snouty mouth. Yeah. And they jump, Ange. They come up and right out of the water on their tails, and they jump. They put on a massive display. And so it would be fantastic if we could ever bring them back to the point where we could fish for them.
Yeah, we've been talking about it for a while because we spent quite a bit of time on the Fraser River in BC fishing for them, and they're just such a tremendous game fish that it would be great to think that someday we can do it. I mean, there's other places too, like the Ottawa River, for example. It's loaded with sturgeon, the St. Lawrence, of course, is loaded with sturgeon. So they're all over the place. When we do camera work on the St. Lawrence, drop cameras down there, Matt. You see these great big hulking sturgeon down there. So
wow,
maybe a project that you and I can work on in our retirement. How's that?
As if we need more work. I'm going fishing.
Exactly. Yeah, no kidding, buddy. Keep it up, Gordy. Thank you very much for helping us work through our problem this morning, but we seem to have gotten it off anyways.
Oh, I'm assuming you're going to. I'm looking out the window and the lilacs are blooming again.
Yeah, baby, you got her. All right, my kid. You take care, Gordy.
Be good.
All right, Gord Pizer, the doc with Outdoor Canada Magazine. That are it. We made it. Joe, you were nervous this morning. See, everything's cool. Nothing went well. Yeah, maybe a few things went wrong. All right, on behalf of the entire Outdoor Journal team, Joe Gorskowski, not Steven, as I mentioned earlier on. I don't know why I said that. Derek Brandeo, I'm Angelo Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday. Bye now.